My name is Gagrant.
My name is Pevenvik.
Suki just getting married today. Suki is my uncle.
What's going to happen at the wedding?
Dancing.
Dancing. The bhangra.
And do you know how many people are going to be at the wedding?
No.
100.
A million?
A million.
I'm Joe Cohen. I play soprano sax in the Bollywood Brass Band, who play Indian film songs and Bhangra songs and traditional wedding songs. The band originally were taught by the very famous Cheyenne Brass Band from central India, who were over here playing a festival of other brass bands. So that's how the band started, and then I think just the booking started coming in. And once somebody had started booking them for a wedding, then the wedding bookings increased, because the traditional thing in back home would be the man on the horse with a brass band in front of him, walking through the streets, telling everybody that a wedding's happening. You can't ignore that. Definitely does root it into the occasion. It makes it feel like it's back home, because we're playing the songs like that, and it's not the same as having a tape. I mean, you can't have a tape play. You know, live music that is still very important in the community, which is great. And it tells everybody that there's a wedding going on. It's definitely a sense of occasion. You know, if you've got 12 people making a racket at 7:30 in the morning, the whole street knows that you're getting married.
I was having a cup of tea and I knew that there were celebrations going on the street, and then I heard the drum beats, the typical the Dalit drum beats, and immediately ran out. And it was just a shock, really, and it's such a surprise, you know, such a wonderful thing to be woken up Sunday morning with this sort of music, you know. It's not the everyday thing that you normally get.
I'm the only Indian in the band, and the rest, you know, Philippe, the snare drummer, is Mallorcan, and he's got French influence, and he's, you know, he's into his Latin music, and you know, there's a lot of talent in the band, and they, you know, they also play in other bands as well. The Dal drum basically comes from North India in Punjab, and earlier on, when it first came about, I think it was used as a war drum. But then it was used in the fields at harvest time, and then also for the sort of like Indian equivalent of the town crier. And while it was played at harvest time in the fields, they developed the dance steps for Bhangra and also the rhythms.
When we play a wedding, we'd normally turn up at the groom's house at about 7:30 and play him out of his house onto a horse, or these days into his car, normally just to the end of the road, and then get transported to the gurdwara, where we'd play them into the gurdwara, which is where they actually get married, and then play them out of the gurdwara again, and this is all in the street, and then into where the reception is, which could be anything from a fancy hotel to a church hall, that sort of thing. Traditionally, in back home, it would have been the man on the horse with the band in front of him playing all the way through the village to the gurdwara. But we don't have to play that much, thank goodness. Normally, it's just to the end of the street, and we do horses. I mean, a lot of people do get the horse, but quite often it's the limo. It's the nod to westernisation there, and of course it is in India now as well. It's a lot of limos and not so many horses.
Well, I'm a guest at Sandhu's wedding,
The reason we actually know Sandu, basically, is because we're all market traders. We all trade on the same markets, and they invited us to the wedding. The difference being, when you go to an English wedding, you actually know the score, you know what's going on. But an Indian wedding, you've got no idea, really, about what happens through the day. So through the conversation, basically, when we've actually all spoken at market, he said, why don't you come up to the house in the morning, you actually get a feel for the wedding, and you'll actually see, basically, what's going on through the whole day. We've never been to nothing like this, and they're really nice people, very easy to get on with. Accommodate, brilliant. I mean, they give and take on market. I know, Dad.
All right, nice to meet you. All right, it's excellent to see you again.
It's just lovely to come. Me, personally, I think that nowadays you're losing cultures in all, you know, ways of life. And it's lovely to come and see a wedding that is going to be a real Indian wedding. I mean, you know, you go into an Indian restaurant, it's not really what they have in India. But when you come here, you're going to see their true culture. It's a big family, Doc. I mean, there's like 600 people coming here. You're going to get a real feel for the atmosphere and the way that life goes on and the way their weddings are performed. Basically, what we've just seen is you've just seen the groom and the bride come down the road, but the whole of his family are all in front of him, all dancing. I mean, there's like the elder ladies in the actual family are all actually singing, but obviously they're singing in their own Indian language. But it's superb to watch. You know, the whole wedding's totally family oriented. They're all dancing. It's just brilliant. The groom is, I mean, I've never seen him look like that. I mean, he's got his turban. I mean, he looks like a prince, really. He's superb to see. What's the colour of that turban? Like a reddy, maroony colour, yeah? And he's got, like, a feather of jewels hanging from it. With all gold, he's got a sash over his shoulder. It's like, I mean, his shoes, I mean, he's got, like, little turned-up shoes on the, you know, like, little pointed bits with a turn-up on the front, and excellent. He's got, like, beads all round his neck with, like, red, glittery sort of balls on them. Just don't see nothing like it.
Right, well, we do vary in size, which is also quite a traditional thing. But really, it'd be two trumpets, two trombones, two soprano saxophones playing the lead, which really traditionally would have been clarinets and sousaphone playing the bass, sometimes a baritone playing the bass. At least one Indian drummer playing a dhol, which is the minimum musician that you could have at a wedding, really. You could just have a dhol player playing the rhythms and things like that, and people from the wedding singing. We have these big frock coat type things with epaulettes, gold buttons, and trousers with gold pieces down them. We've just got some new trousers with added tassels. So very smart and all looking the same. Well, there are certain wedding tunes which everybody has to play. My brother's getting married, or there's other songs which people would always play at weddings, you know, which celebrate different things. Paint the henna on your hand and I'll come and collect you, or obviously Undying Love and those sort of songs. A lot of them are from the film industry. The arrangements are quite true to the original, really. I mean, some of the ones which are have very complicated bits, we take the complicated bits, the fussy bits, out, which you can't do with the brass band and can't do live. But the tunes are there, all the choruses are there, and all the main singing bits are there, which are the bits that people recognise. They recognise the bits that people sing. The trombones, the sopranos, and the trumpets, are all melody instruments.
We're going right.
Are we?
We are, yes.
We're going left.
We're going right. See that bus? That bus is our target.
Follow that bus.
Yep.
Well, there'll be more confusion, and the groom will sort of assemble with his party as far away from the temple as possible, which might only be 50 feet, and we'll then do the second part of the procession. So we'll play in front as he arrives at the Gurdwara, at the temple, and that the bride's family will already be there. So that's where the two families meet. So far, it's all been the groom's side. And they'll garland each other. It's called Milni. So the uncles will exchange garlands with each other, the fathers. If they get excited, they'll sort of hug each other and lift each other off the ground. And because it really is two families marrying each other, so that's the bit where every bit of the sort of congruent bit of the family meet up. And we'll probably play during the Milni, but at a little bit of a distance and not as loudly. But sometimes people want to sing instead, so we just have to kind of play it as it comes. Because even if you think you know what's going to happen, often it turns out different. It's very spontaneous.
I'm the father of the bride. And it's a very important day, yeah? It's a very colourful day, many ceremonies and customs. It's a nervous day, really, because so much happens, and so many people are here. I would say it's just about 500, a proper sit-down meal for 500 people. It's obviously a happy occasion and a sad occasion, because we're very close to our daughters, and to see her off home. Ours is even more special because I moved into my house only yesterday with a mad rush to get everything done, and I wanted her to leave for my home.
My name is Sukhji Dalawalia. I'm actually not directly involved within the wedding. I'm here because my aunt is providing the congregation with the food today, which is a thing that Sikh temples have on every Sunday, of providing food for all the congregation. The garlanding is preceded by some sweetening of the mouth. Again, traditionally for Indians, wherever there's a happy occasion, there are always some sweets of some nature. And then some sort of gifts we exchange. And it's usually from the girl's side to the male, because they're welcoming the groom's family to the wedding. And then they're welcome to the breakfast area, and straight after the breakfast, straight into the ceremony. And a garlanding takes place again, but once the ceremony is finished, to garland both the bride and groom, celebrate them and give them some honour, make it their day.
Well, one of the things that really surprised me the first time I went to the wedding was the sheer number of people. It's not uncommon to have 1,000 people at a wedding, and school halls are ideal for that, because they've got a good stage and relatively good acoustics, lots of places for children to run around. And so if you invite somebody on an invitation, it'll say, instead of the Western thing where it's like, don't bring your mum. Don't bring your kids. It'll be just inviting the whole family. And that whole family might mean cousins, it might mean aunties, it might definitely mean your parents, your children. And they'll all come in a sea of colour. everybody will get dressed up, and that's what's so fantastic about them, in that it is free like that. And if you wanted to bring your next door neighbour, bring your next door neighbour. That's fine. And so when it comes to feeding people, obviously the vats of food, it's not like a hotel where you've got your places and you've got your first course and your second course. It'll mainly be snacks when you first arrive, and then it'll be a plate of food which will, depending on whether vegetarians obviously, will be a meat curry, a couple of vegetable curries, rice. And it'll be a good balanced meal which could be feeding 1,000 people, with the caterers moaning obviously that they were only getting paid for 600. So that sort of social thing obviously has grown, because when it first started, the communities would have been smaller. So the whole community would have come. Whereas now the communities are bigger. It's just the family and extended families, but there's still a lot of people.
I'm the bride's uncle. We arrive here back at the hall, which is known as the Broadway Theatre Barking, which is one of the biggest and quality venues one can hire around here to cater for the size of parties that we actually have. We've got approximately 600 guests. There may be a few more. And they all come down, sit down, and then we actually enjoy the party atmosphere, where they all enjoy lots of variety of food as they're drinking, then a main meal afterwards. And very shortly, all of them will arrive with the guests and the band. The band that was playing this morning, did you catch them?
My name's Loz, Loz Speyer, and I'm just playing. I play with the band fairly regularly, not just standing in when someone's away. When they originally asked me to dep for the Bollywood band, the deal was that you learn all of the music, all the repertoire off by heart, because they don't use written music. So now, I mean, at the time I was willing to do that. No, and it's great. I mean, it's good to have such great music in my heart and my soul, you know. Well, it is great music. I really like the tune.
My name's Kay and I play the trumpet in the band. All the music, it's arranged from the original film tunes. Myself or Roz or Sarah, I suppose the main arrangers in the band, we just take the cassette of the original song and then we have to convert it to the brass lines. So once it's all written out, everyone has their part. Then we, at a rehearsal, we'll do a tape of us playing our parts, and then really from then it's up to the individual. It's good to play the tape a lot, I find, until you can sing. I'll sing along with the lines. I find if I can sing along with the lines, I can pretty much play them.
I'm Roz and I play the trombone. And I really enjoy the weddings because the people are really, really enjoy the music. And they dance. And people of all ages dance as well. And men, particularly the young men, dance, because it's the tradition for the young men to dance. So that's good fun, you know, because people are all dressed up. It's their special occasion. And we're part of it, because they prepare for years, really, for weddings. We spend a lot of money on it.
Yeah, and we do get asked to do weddings all over the country. There's one we've been asked to do in Wolverhampton. But the only problem with that is that they start very early. It's not so bad getting to somewhere in London for 8 o'clock in the morning, but they want us to be playing in Wolverhampton at 8 o'clock in the morning, which means leaving London at 5 a.m., which we were a bit reluctant to do. This kind of music is certainly unusual, and the beat, you can't really stop yourself dancing once you get, particularly the jal rhythm, which is like Bhangra, and that sort of rhythm really makes you want to dance. I mean, you see how much enjoyment people get from it as well. But English people enjoy it, even if they don't know what the music is. Quite often people come up to us and say, where does music come from?
Yes. A big difference between us and a traditional brass wedding band is that some of us are women. In fact, more or less half the band is women. Mm. And I think a lot of people are surprised by that, especially, well, the Asian audience is always surprised.
But they don't seem to mind.
They don't seem to mind, no. I think because it's so odd that we're playing, they're just white people playing Indian music, that, you know, they're prepared to accept anything. Plus, we all wear the same clothes. Mm. And I think there's probably a tradition in India, particularly of men, but of men dressing up as women a lot. Yeah.
Musicians and performers, of course.
Exactly.
It's always different.
Musicians and performers are almost allowed to do whatever they like.
the thing is that when you've done hundreds of weddings, it's hard because you have to get up very early in the morning. You often have to travel a long way. You have to play for 10 minutes, hang around for 2 hours, play for another 10 minutes, hang around, do all that sort of stuff. I suppose you get blasé about anything that you do a lot of. I mean, I played hundreds of weddings in Bhangra groups before I got drafted into the Bollywood Brass Band. So I've done more weddings than anybody alive, probably. But no, I always like them. I always like them. I like the sense of occasion and the way that everybody dresses up for it.
I'm family of family, and basically I'm here because I've been invited. And plus, the bride's a very friendly person. Because whenever we come down, visit the bride and what have you, we just wanted to see what she looks like. She's wearing burgundy. It's normal the attire for a wedding bride anyway, to wear reds, in the colours of reds. The thing is, this is the only time that Asian families get together, this type of event. You know, because like, everyone is so busy, it's hard for people to get together, especially events like this. So this is the only time, that's why we have big dues. It's more of a social occasion more than, I mean, I've only come here just to meet up with everyone. It's not really because the wedding. It's a chance, it's an opportunity to get dressed up. How often do you get opportunities to dress up in your wedding attire? You know what I mean?
I like weddings because we get to eat some cake.
I like coming to weddings because you get loads of crisps to eat and drink Coke.
When I come to a wedding, I wear a blazer, shirt, a tie and some new shoes.
I like coming to weddings to dance.
What's the music that you dance to?
Indian song.
I know one. It's Sona Sona because it's Indian song in there.
All right, you
sing. Sona, sona, dil mein sona. Sona, sona, dil mein sona. Sona, sona.
I mean, nowadays, bride and groom gets the opportunity to meet up with one another. So when the actual day arrives, it's not so like so much tension between the bride and groom. And it is very romantic, I think it is, because, like, you know, this is going to be your partner for life, and it's so intriguing about what is he going to be like, what his habits are, because on the original meetings that you have, you always bring out the best in one another. You don't tend to show, you know, the bad points, so you always often think, oh, you know, so it's intriguing in that sense. My mother-in-law, she didn't even see her husband on the day because she wore a veil in front of her head. So from their point of view, you know, this is like very modern wedding. When marriages are arranged, they look at whether the families are going to click. They don't just go into a marriage. I mean, I'm sure like the bride and groom, they've met various different partners before they've decided that these are the partners that they're going to marry. So I'm just talking about your family, you know, how you looked at various different aspects before you just gave them their way. You didn't look at, oh, he's the nice bloke, you know.
No, just like, oh, he's got the most money, go for it.
Yeah, that's what you do. You have to think about them issues. You can't just pass your daughter over to anyone.
We've been much more successful recently because of the record that's come out. That has taken us really into the world music scene, playing festivals. So we do WOMAD, Glastonbury. There's a lot of them in Europe. Sphinx is the big world music festival. And so that in some ways takes you away from the weddings and away from the traditional things. But I think there's always a place for doing the traditional things, especially the weddings. because it roots us back as well. Because the more you go away, the less you're rooted to the sort of music that you're playing. The musicians in the band all have done and are doing music from around the world. Salsa bands, African bands, people have travelled to Africa and worked with African musicians. I've got a long history of playing Indian music. And I think it's a love of music, and they can see that there's beauty in the music, and that it's a very emotional music, and it's the Indian rock and roll. Bhangra music is the Indian rock and roll. It's got a really heavy beat which pounds away, and people dance to it. So musicians love playing it because the beautiful tunes are very beautiful, and the hard tunes are very danceable and very strong. Yes. All the things that make music attractive to play, and when you play it to people, to see them enjoying it, to see them dancing. And you can play it to people who've never heard Indian music before. And I think maybe we get over to them a bit better than the real traditional Indian groups, because we don't put all the inflections in, and we are a bit westernised, and we are very tidy, and we all stop at the right place. And not saying that they don't, but so I think that sometimes our wider appeal is also because we've westernised things.
Enjoy the music, I do believe it. The bar is open, but please do give us glasses. Stop right up.